The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. The invitation to carry this light comes to each of us, no matter who we are. And it feels risky, and sometimes it feels downright scary. And yet we know that God's faithfulness and steadfast love are always there for us. God is our strength. Let it be with me. So come, let us worship the God whose light brings hope to a weary world.
Wisdom, wisdom, guess what?
What? What?
I got new glasses.
I see. They're very nice.
Now I can see where I'm going.
So now you can get there from here.
What? Oh, yes. I can even look beyond the road to see the way.
Imagine that.
Does God know I got new glasses?
I'm quite sure God's as happy as you are about your new glasses.
I thought so, too. Hey, did you remember last week when we talked about God fixing things and stuff and seeing the wholeness that God sees?
I do. Why?
Because I think that's when I put on my glasses. It's like I'm telling God, yes, I'm ready to see what you see. Let it be.
A kind of prayer, right?
Yeah.
Let it be now, God.
One who breaks the darkness. And we will stand and sing verse 1 and 3, please.
One of the wonders about our church is that we're a family. We don't just come to a service, we come to be together, which is wonderful. And so in a minute, just hang on, we're going to invite you to stand and greet people. And we're going to do a few things while we're doing that. One of them is, if you see somebody that you don't recognize, go and introduce yourself and ask them if it's okay to introduce them later. We don't want to embarrass them. And the second thing is you see all the $5 seats are open. And if you would like to come to the front, there's no charge today. I'm sure that once people open their long johns, which are packaged under the tree tonight, they'll all be here tomorrow. So would you please stand and greet each other briefly and say hi to the new folk, okay? Okay, the rest we'll do after the service, okay? So those of you who are regulars, did you meet someone who would like to be introduced? And if so, if you'd stand and introduce them. Well, whoever you are, this morning you belong. We are the people of God come together to worship. I'd like to, for the last, this is the fourth Sunday in a row, Mrs. White has been having a progressive children's story. And so we're looking forward to what installment 4 is about. So if the children would like to come forward, we'd like to have you come now.
Good morning. So for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about my hobby, which is crocheting. And the first week, we talked about thinking about what I would like to make. And then we thought about getting a pattern. And then, yes, last week was choosing materials, which was fun. And today we actually get to talk about the fun stuff, which is making it. So I have always had fun watching what I'm making come out in my hands. Because you can see, it starts off as Mr. White always says, it's just a piece of string until I tie it in all kinds of knots and loops, and then it turns into a toy. So it's kind of exciting for me how that happens. But the best part for me, I actually have to say, is when I give it away. I love to see the smiles on the kids' faces. Sometimes they're bigger kids and sometimes they're littler kids, but that's really the best part for me, is to give it away. And you guys have also been doing making something the last 4 weeks that we've been talking together. You've been going downstairs every Sunday to practice and get ready. To practice at getting ready for the show that we're going to do this evening. So today you get to have the fun of giving what you've been working so hard at creating, and you will have the joy, and you're going to forget the standing around and waiting for the grown-ups to figure out what they want to do. You're going to just have fun giving. It'll be great to see. So God also keeps working with us, knowing that the best gift that we are becoming. God does not get tired of us, but continues to work with us to receive and share his love. On this day before Christmas, we are happy that God came to live with us, changing us to bless him. So, can we bow for prayer? Thank you, God, for not giving up on us as you continue to create us as a place for you to dwell. You came to us because your desire to love us was so strong. As you pull us closer to you, we want to respond to you and say, can we all say it together? We've been saying it a lot. Say, let it be. Let it be. Amen. Okay, I have a surprise yet. I've been working very hard, but I have 40 kids this year, so I didn't have as much time to make stuff for Sunday school kids as I usually do. So I have some crochet projects for you. But if you don't get one today, I also have a piece of paper and we'll write your name down, and next Sunday I will have it ready for you, hopefully, and then you can have one too. So don't be sad if you don't get one today. I'm counting, it might be quite almost enough, but I tried really hard. Okay, so you can come get one, and then you can go downstairs to Sunday school to finish practicing your beautiful show. Thank you, Jacob. There you go. You're welcome. There you go. You're welcome.
In case you're wondering, you're penguins. A few announcements we'd like to highlight before we get to the sharing. The first one has to do with these little people. The Christmas story, I think, is best understood from the voices of children. And so at 6:30 tonight, the children will be having a Christmas pageant and the choir will be singing. So make sure that you book that into your schedule to come here. Just a couple of other announcements I'd like to mention briefly. Number 5, the church council has a few open positions. This is the opportunity you've been waiting for, so make sure you step up quickly and to volunteer. Also note number 8 and 9, the week of prayer for Christian unity. We often slip over this, and this is a time that knits us as churches in the community together. So if you have a little time, take a note of that. The culmination is a worship service on January the 27th. Before we get into sharing, are there any other announcements that need to be made? Okay, there's 2 points I'd like to bring up, and then we have time for what's on your heart as well. Please look at number 1. Alice Pound is currently in St. Boniface Hospital. There's a fairly lengthy write-up there. Please read that. And keep Alice and her family in your prayers as she goes through a very difficult time right now. Number 2, also a life transition. This one is celebration. Want to celebrate with Heinrich and Rosa as they celebrate their 65th wedding anniversary on Wednesday. Is there anything on your heart that you would like to share today? Well, then let's continue to worship and celebrate.
Please turn to number 197, Angels We Have Heard on High. We'll sing verse 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
as a child, my mother used to read Christmas stories to us. And one of the ones she read every year was the classic by Hans Christian Andersen called The Little Match Girl. Do you know the story? Little girl sent out by her terrible stepfather to sell matches on a very cold day. I'll leave the rest to you to go back and look up on Google. I used to look forward to that event with, first of all, fear. Because it made me cry. It was a sad story. It was a sad story because it brought out the darkness in our world. That people could be that mean and unkind. But it was also a story I looked forward to because held in juxtaposition with the darkness was the implied message of hope. You don't need a light if there's no darkness. And so I began to realize as I listened to this story what it was about. It's an invitation for you and for me to recognize, first of all, the darkness within that Jesus came to light a light for. To bring hope and joy and love and peace. But it also allows us to look around us at the brokenness around us. The brokenness in the person that you're sitting beside right now. The brokenness in our community. The brokenness in our world. And it allows us to not only see that light for ourselves, but as the song goes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we're like the angels and like the star as we begin to proclaim to a broken and hurting world, there's light. There's hope today. There's joy and peace and love. It is there. Let's pray. God of light, of love, of joy, of peace, of hope. During this Christmas season, we are reminded of the light you have come to bring. We see it in the light of Christmas, in the candles, the stores, our homes, and it's wonderful. You come to change the hopeless and the darkness in our lives and in our world to hope and joy and peace. And we sing the songs and we tell the stories and we worship you. But God, sometimes we forget. And the season becomes one of busy schedules and stress and anxiety and debt. And in the midst of celebrating the light, we allow the darkness in. Thank you for the simple and beautiful picture that you bring to bring our focus back to you. Help us to be your light to those in our congregation who are experiencing darkness in their lives. Darkness due to loneliness. Those who have said goodbye to special people this past year. Those in our congregation with poor health. We think today especially of Darlene Bergen, Karen Brewer, Heinrich Fust, Alfreda Gertz, Gary Hebert, Kim Hoban, Morris Korchak, Tracy LeClaire, Kim Lind, Peter Hirschfeld, Tree Harris, and Peter Sawatsky. And those who have moved to care homes and are not with families as they wish to be this year. And we think of those in our congregation, Susanna Bueller, Agnes Dirksen, Hildegard Knopf, Hildy Schrader, Peter Thiessen, Kathy Wagner, Jake Dick, Walter Fast, Mary Gunther, Annie Stein, Jacob and Olga Dick, and Rob Bell. We pray for those who struggle with finances or mental health or unforgiven hurt. Help us to shine your light for them, to embrace them and walk with them as best we can. Help us to be your light for those who are hurting in our world. That is so much darkness. We think of the political unrest that seems to be escalating regularly with poorly chosen words and threats. We think of those who struggle with the bare necessities of life, of food and shelter and safety. We're overwhelmed when we hear the number of hungry and vulnerable in our little city. Help us to reflect the light of this season through our generosity, our caring, our attitude, and our words. God, we stand as your people with our hands stretched out to you, longing for you to continue to walk with us and praising you for your faithfulness of the past and your promise for the future. Amen. The passage that I would like to read to you today, many of you probably know word for word. And yet, it's a passage that when we truly listen, it's always new. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." The word of the Lord.
I have traveled many more. Well, I really did want to get rid of the robe before I talked, but it's somehow disrobing in public. It's questionable. Let's say a word of prayer. Our God, as we continue to reflect on the scripture that we've already heard read, we pray for your Spirit to move within us and among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on our church's journey through the time of Advent, we have focused our thoughts on the words of Mary after the angel announced to her that she would play a significant part in the advancement of God's mission on earth. When she was told that she would give birth to a son to be named Jesus, she said eventually, "May it be to me as you have said." And so those words that Mary spoke, "Let it be," have been our guiding words throughout the time of Advent. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we arrive at a culmination and declare our response to God, we say, "Yes, let it be now." While we have been using these guiding words of Mary throughout our Advent series, in this final sermon before Christmas, we look at the passage in which Mary spoke those words, and then her following words, in which she said some startling things about what God will be doing, what God was doing on earth, with the implication that the birth of Jesus Christ would be part of that. Let us then turn our minds toward the event when Mary heard God's plan for her life. Now, we don't experience God telling us precisely what is going to happen to us. Well, perhaps I'm speaking personally when I say that. We live with the guidance. We live with guidance about the kind of people we should be and broadly about how we should live, but we don't have God telling us the details of what is going to happen in our lives, the way that Mary experienced in the story of God's announcement to her. The conclusion that Mary's experience was so radically different than our experience makes it all the more astounding to contemplate what happened to Mary when she heard what God was up to. Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel came to make an announcement to Mary. God sent the angel. Mary was a young woman, probably an early teen, who was promised in marriage to a man named Joseph. We would suppose that she was going about her usual daily routine when an angel appeared with a message from God. It's very interesting that the order of events that follows the angel's appearance are very similar to other stories from the Old Testament. Isaiah and Moses in particular, their stories about the call from God are very similar to this. And so let's think about that. Each of those stories start with a greeting. Gabriel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And then there was a startled reaction. Luke tells us that Mary was greatly troubled at these words. The startled reaction was followed by an encouragement not to fear. And then the announcement came. Like Moses and Isaiah hearing about God's commission for them, Mary heard that God had a special commission for her. She was to give birth to a son called Jesus. Now, the commission was followed by an objection in all those stories. In Luke's story, Mary couldn't see how this was going to happen. She never had sex with a man. Clearly, she wasn't planning on it in the near future. Well, the objection was followed by a reassurance. The angel told Mary that God was going to take care of this one. And finally, the reassurance was followed by a confirming sign. In this story, the confirming sign was that Mary's relative, Elizabeth, who had never been able to have children and was by now very old, was going to have a baby. Now, I took the time to point out the similarity of this progression to that of several other Old Testament stories to demonstrate how important this announcement was. The commission for Mary was along the lines of the commissions to Moses and Isaiah, the greatest prophets the people of Israel had seen. this announcement was a big deal. Of course, we who believe that Jesus was God come to earth don't have to be told that this was a big deal. We know it. The point is that Luke was signaling to his first century readers that the announcement of Jesus' birth was another in a line of God's important interventions in the history of his people. Now let's be reminded about the details of the announcement. The angel told the young, inexperienced, and probably poor Mary that she would have a son, and she would name him Jesus, meaning one who saves. This Jesus would be called the Son of the Most High. He would sit on the throne of David and reign over Israel forever. This was an incredible announcement. Presumably, Mary understood this literally. She would have a son, and her son would become the king of a rejuvenated Israel. Little did she know exactly how things would turn out. But this is what she heard predicted. Well, after hearing this announcement, Mary went to visit her relative Elizabeth, where she was encouraged by Elizabeth's enthusiastic blessing of what was going to happen to Mary. Mary responded to Elizabeth's blessing with the words we have come to know as the Magnificat, or Mary's song, and recorded in Luke 1, 46 through 55. Mary says there that her soul glorifies the Lord, and her spirit rejoices in God. She imagines that all generations will call her blessed from now on because God has done great things for her. Now, we could hear an inappropriate self-focus in those words, but I think they are simply an excited reaction to what God was going to do. Like all of Israel, Mary would have been thrilled to hear that God was finally going to send the Messiah that they had been longing for, who would restore the fortunes of Israel. And then she turned her focus toward the acts of God and what he would now do. Her voice was a declaration that God was finally going to come to the rescue of the poor and the oppressed. God would take down the rulers of this world who oppressed the poor and would exalt the humble. Now imagine how those words would have been heard in Mary's world. Imagine if King Herod heard those words. We know that Herod assassinated members of his own family if he suspected that they were a threat to his rule. We also know that a few years later, he responded to the news of the birth of Jesus by having the baby boys of Bethlehem killed. If Herod had heard the words of Mary's song that declared that God had brought down the rulers from their thrones, he likely would have felt the finger of God, or at least the finger of Mary, pointing at him. Mary's song would have felt like a threat. Imagine if Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, had heard this message. Rome had its own version of good news. Julius Caesar had been declared to be a god after his death. When Caesar Augustus seized power, he was considered a savior because he ended bitter civil wars and created the peace of Rome. You've heard the phrase Pax Romana. Well, think about that. A son of a god saved Rome by bringing peace. In the text we have considered this morning, Luke reported that the angel Gabriel announced that Mary would have a child who would be called the Son of the Most High. His name would be Jesus, one who saves, a savior. It seems that Luke was saying something subversive about the Roman Empire with his choice of words in describing Jesus. What would Caesar Augustus, who was called the Son of God and a savior, have thought if he understood all the implications of the two texts we have considered this morning? It seems to me that he too would have thought that his authority and power was being threatened. He wouldn't have liked the thought that through this person who was born, the rich and the powerful would be brought low. This was subversive. From the way Luke tells the story, it feels like the teenage Mary understood this too, that there was something subversive in this. Scott McKnight, in a Christianity Today article, comments this way. I'm going to read a bit of his writing. Mary was a subversive and she was dangerous. First, because she knew the identity of her son, and second, because she began to tell his story. The Gospels come from many voices, and one of those was Mary's. Her voice tells us what God would do through her son to subvert the injustices of Herod and the pretentiousness of Augustus. Her voice tells us that somehow, some way, someday, God would establish a kingdom of peace for the whole world. The real Mary, in the story rarely told, changed the world by surrendering to the angel Gabriel with three words: "May it be." And those have been our words: "Let it be." And God used her to set loose the power of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Now consider the transformation we have observed in the life of Mary in the short time from the reception of the angel's announcement to singing her song. She was transformed from a peasant girl to a prophetess. She was transformed from being the simple Mary to being prepared to be the mother of God. She was transformed from being in denial to the announced event to becoming a committed disciple and spreader of the news of Jesus. As we observe the transformation of Mary, we contemplate how the story of Mary might move us toward what God has called us to be. We know what happened when Mary said, "Yes, let it be now." She became the bearer of God to this world. Are we letting God do that work in us? Are we willing, like Mary, to be bearers of God in this world? And when I ask that question, I'm also making the statement that this is our mission, to be bearers of God in this world. We join in God's mission as described by Mary when we testify of the transformation that God brings to our lives. And when we do that, we're saying, "Yes, let it be now." We join in God's mission when we do our volunteer shifts at the Mennonite Central Committee thrift shop, knowing that our service is helping MCC to respond to poverty, violence, and oppression around the world, and that it is helping Winnipeggers who are less privileged to live a little better. And when we do that, we're saying, "Yes, let it be now." We join in God's mission when we offer our church building as a place where the hungry can come to get food at a biweekly food bank. When we do that, we're saying, "Yes, let it be now." We join in God's mission when we choose to give generously to the work of the church here at North Kelowna Mennonite Church and beyond. And when we do that, we're saying, "Yes, let it be now." And so we ask again, are we willing, like Mary, to be bearers of God in this world? You see, Advent isn't just about us waiting for God. It's also about God waiting for us. Are we responding to God with a "Yes, let it be now"? Our God, these have been tremendous words. Words that talk about your mission for our world, your desire for us to live in peace and justice and equity, your desire for us to be part of sharing your message of transformation in our world. Guide us toward being people who say, "Yes, let it be now." In the name of Jesus we pray it. Amen.
Please turn to 189 in your hymn book. "To Us a Child of Hope is Born." I'm not sure how we can do this sitting, so please stand. This announces to the world that Jesus was born for us with excitement. Like Marv suggested, we could sing this out in the street corners and show the world that we are happy about Jesus being born.
Thank you.
And now, may God go with you. May you carry the grace of Christ fearlessly. May the power of the Holy Spirit overshadow you. And may you understand that nothing is impossible with God.
Number 212, O Come All Ye Faithful, we will be singing verse 1 tonight, so please sing verse 2 and 4.